invite you again to turn to the Word of God and to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Let's hear the Word of God together. A song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his blood sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb of his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. May the Lord again add his blessing to the reading of his word. Psalm 127 is one of many which commentators would declare a Psalter within the Psalter, a psalm book within the psalm book. There's a sudden change from 119, 120, you notice that they all begin with a song of decrees or song of ascent. These were songs that the pilgrims sang on their journey up to Jerusalem. Some of these may have been composed while they journeyed from Babylon after their 70 year of exile, after their disobedience to the word of God. But they were songs which were sung 3 times a year for the pilgrims. That was the requirement of a Jewish man to attend the sanctuary in Jerusalem to offer praise and thanksgiving to his God. And these songs of ascent or degrees are broken up for our encouragement, so that we as Christians, as believers, may experience and understand what they went through as we go through it ourselves. Because this word of God is not for the past, it's for the present, it's for now. It's not history, this is truth for our souls and for our instruction. Now very quickly, I'm just going to run through the previous few psalms. They're all quite short and to the point. So Psalm 120 speaks of the psalmist. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now which one of us here this morning is not in distress? I look at you, and you're in distress. I don't know what it is, but you've got distress in your life. Because that's the way life is, isn't it? There's always something to concern us. Something to worry about. Our health, our nation, our children, our family, our employment. We can go on and on, can't we? There is distress. And some people can cope with stress. Others find it very difficult. But the psalmist, I want you to notice this, that he doesn't run to the pastor, doesn't run to the elders or the deacons or his best friend. In my distress, I cried unto Yahweh Jehovah the Lord. He takes all his burden, all his cares, all his concern to the Lord in prayer. Notice this, in verse 1 he says, and he heard me. Our God is a God who hears. He's not silent. He's not deaf. He's not dumb. He has ears to hear, and he heard him. Verse 2, not only did he hear him, he delivered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. He was a man who was surrounded by liars. The Bible says all men are liars. All men are liars. It's particularly grievous when such men are in our churches and they lie and they propagate lies. They love to gossip. They love to wag their tail and their tongue and point the finger to bring a godly man or a godly woman down. Our neighbours, unbelieving neighbours, they will lie about us. And the psalmist here seeks the Lord to deliver him from such people. From lying lips and a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee? What shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? You who speak a lie, the falsehood, what's going to happen to you? What shall be given unto you? Verse 4. Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. These coals of juniper is a strange saying, but according to research I looked into, the juniper tree in the desert, the nomad would take that, and it's a long, hot, burning wood. It will give them all they need for a night to keep them warm and to do their cooking. So that's a mighty fire. That's added with sharp arrows. Your words, which are sharp arrows, shall return upon you. And they will burn you. Psalmist 119 talks about those who dig a pit and fall into it themselves. So we live in a world of lies. BBC. It's a world of lies. Sowing confusion, government propaganda, fake news is everywhere. We need to be discerning Christians. We need to read the signs of the times. We need to seek godly wisdom and godly counsel. So that's appropriate, just that section there for our society. But verse 5 speaks of our society again. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Mekesh, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. And Mekesh was a people group up towards the Baltic, modern day Ukraine, around that sort of area. They are warlike people. So he's not speaking here of where he dwelt, but these are forces which are beyond his control, which are violent, who are extending their territories. And that's true of those who dwell in the tents of Kedar. They were Arabs. They were Arabs who were raiders. They came swiftly on their camels. They came to destroy and to conquer. And again, that is so true of our day and generation. Everyone wants to expand their kingdom. Everyone wants to be great. Everyone's flexing their muscles. The United States are flexing their muscle all the time. Perpetual war. We live in a world of perpetual war. Why? It's good business. It's good business. War is good business. It produces armaments, gives employment to men and women, and big profits to be made. And we live in such a world. This is what he's talking of here. The threat of war and of destruction. My soul, he says, have long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. That is the cry of the day. And they hate peace. They hate peace. But he says in verse 7, I am for peace. Friend, are you a peacemaker? Are you seeking to bring peace where there's hatred? Seeking to bring peace where there's conflict within families, within churches? I'm for peace. But when I speak, they're for war. That 120 is our world. That's the world he lived in. That's the world everyone lives in. You look through all of history. It's Babylon, Assyria, it's Greece, the Roman, it's Germany, they're all out for war. Perpetual war. Yet, they're in the midst of all this. There are men and women who are for peace. And there are those who are going to oppose you because they are for war. This was his world, this is our world. So in his distress, he's called upon the Lord, verse 1 of 121, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Why? Whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. I might be a little bit controversial in what I say about this first verse in your mind. He's not lifting his eyes to the hills, thinking that's where his help is going to come from. No, because the pagans lifted up their eyes to the hills. That's where the Baals and the Ashtaroth and idolatrous practices were practiced, on the hills, on the mountaintops. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Pause. For whence cometh my help? My help doesn't come from idolatry, from witchcraft, from demonic practices. No. Verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. This one who made the hills, who made the heavens and the earth, is the one who is the psalmist's help. Is he your help this morning? My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. Psalm 123, verse 1. Again, he repeats it. Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. He's not looking to the hills for help. He's not looking for the cavalry to come over to be his rescue. His help, his confidence, is in Yahweh, the maker and sustainer of all things. The heavens and the earth. The one who created the spheres, the sun, the moon and the stars. It set them in orbit. Placed them there. Who holds them there. Who directs them there. This is where the psalmist's help comes from. He said in verse 3 of 121, he will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Yahweh does not sleep. There are times when we think he is asleep. We think he's afar off. I think there's a nod there to the prophets of Baal. Elijah said, come on, wake him up. Is he asleep? Maybe he's gone to the bathroom. Maybe he's gone on holiday. I mean, there's a bit of sarcasm here. Now God doesn't sleep. He has an eye upon us. 24/7. All through our lives. No hurt comes upon us. But with his nod. He is supreme. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleeps. This is our God. Ever present, working through providence. The Lord, verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The ironic blessing there, numbers. The Lord bless thee, and the Lord keep thee. These psalms reflect that blessing from Aaron. You go through it carefully, you'll find many pointers to that. The Lord bless you with peace. We just consider that. I'm for peace, there for war. The Lord is thy keeper. He's the one who's going to hedge you around. He's the one who's going to keep you and support you and sustain you. When you're on your sick bed, he is there upholding you. He hasn't forgotten you. He is ever present. And he is thy keeper. I'm glad I've got a keeper. You're not glad you've got a keeper? And it's not the God of this world. It's the God of heaven and earth. It's the Lord God Almighty, kept by him. And he is a shade. He protects us from the heat, from the heat of the battle of the day. He's at our right hand as our defender. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The perseverance of the saints, my friends. When we're saved, we can never be lost. We are kept forever. It's impossible for him to shake us off. It's impossible for us to lose our faith. Yes, we may slip, we may slide, we may backslide, but ultimately at the end, he shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Can you imagine what comfort this was for a pilgrim marching to Jerusalem on a Thanksgiving, on a Passover, Feast of Tabernacles? What wonderful words. Because he's walking through a wilderness. He's going up to Jerusalem. The mountains, the wild beasts, the thieves and robbers. Yet, he will preserve them through their pilgrim journey. And that's true of each and every one of us. He will preserve us as we pilgrimage to heaven itself. Quickly in 122, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go unto the house of the Lord. Are you glad when they say to you? It's the Lord saying, let's go to the house of the Lord. We used to have a sister in Gordon Road there. Sunday was the best day of the week for her. She couldn't wait for Sunday to come round again. Sunday evening, she couldn't wait for next Sunday. Because she just loved to be with the people of God. Worshipping her God with the people of God. And she was glad when they said unto me, let's go unto the house of the Lord. Why are we glad? Because it's a house of hospitality. We should be. When we come through these doors, we've got to be hospitable to the stranger, to the afflicted, to the orphan, to the widow. We've got to be hospitable. It's a place of protection. This is what the church is. We are protecting one another. We see a brother or sister go astray, we approach them. Brother, that's not, you're not doing right here. We're protecting, preserving one another's souls. He is glad to be in the house of the Lord. He speaks of Jerusalem being built as a city that is compact together. Where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. So 120 through to 122 is speaking of that journey which is dangerous, difficult, but yet we must progress. And he's glad to be in the house of the Lord. He's finally there. He's finally made it. He's finally reached his destination. Verse 8 says, for my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. You see again, it's that flip back to Aaron's blessing there in the book of Numbers. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. 122, he speaks right there. I was glad when he said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. He ends with the same thought. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. The good of who? The good of the people of God. So when we come together, we're encouraging one another. It's good to be in a crowd, isn't it? To be with a lot of people is good. The singing is good. The fellowship is good. Company is good. And we do good to one another. We build one another up. Just by a smiling face. That's good, isn't it? It's quite remarkable. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek my good. Are you seeking the good of each other? Are you seeking one another's good? Are you doing good to one another? Are you an encouragement to one another? This is what it's about. this Christian experience. We're doing good. And we're seeking the peace of those who journey to Jerusalem with us. So these Psalms are speaking of this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Our pilgrimage, we're not going to Jerusalem. I don't particularly want to go to Jerusalem at the present moment. It's not a safe place. But our Jerusalem is heaven itself. And that's the journey on. And just to encourage you to read these Psalms of Ascent and draw out the sweetness of them. So coming to 127 then. They've made their journey. They've gone to Jerusalem. They've offered their sacrifices. They received a blessing from the priests. They've been instructed in the word of God. Now it's time to go home. You go on holiday. It's nice to pack your bag and to make your plans for a holiday, a trip. But it's always wonderful to come home, isn't it? You notice that? You go away, you just can't wait to get, there's nowhere like home. You've got your own surroundings, your own environment, you've got your own comfy bed. It's home, yeah? These people, they've journeyed, they've walked, okay? Some for many miles, through the hot sun. The Lord's been their shield and their protector. He's been on their right, protecting them from the evils, from the wild beasts, from the calamities, from the flood. Verse 3 of 124. He speaks of end. They had swallowed us up quick when their offers kindled against us. Then the waters had overflowed us. The streams had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who have not given us as a prey to their teeth. They've gone through all those difficulties. The flood, the prey, the lion, the bear, the robber. And now they've reached their goal and now they're going home. And the point of Psalm 127 is to rely upon the Lord for all life's experiences. Notice this here, I deliberately read that, the Song of Decrees for Solomon. If you read 131, it says, a Song of Decrees of David. 133, of David. Commentators, I'm inclined to think this way too. This is a psalm composed by David for Solomon when he took up the throne in Jerusalem. And David is giving Solomon, he's giving the Christian, good sound advice on how to live the Christian life and experience the true and living God. So as pilgrims think of going home, David is thinking of Solomon and his kingdom. Except the Lord build a house, they labour in vain that building. Solomon, you're going to build the temple, it's going to be glorious, you're going to build your palaces, Jerusalem is going to be thickly compact together, it's going to be a beautiful city. But all that glory, all that majesty will avail to nothing if the Lord is not in it. They labour in vain that build it. Unless the Lord is in it, it's all vanity. A biblical example would be the Tower of Babel. Let's build a tower up to heaven. Yeah? That's what they said. And they all had the same tongue. What does God do? He comes in and confounds their language. He was not in it. That was not his purpose. And he confounds them. And they're scattered over the world. The Lord is in it when Solomon builds the temple of the Lord. God was in it. How do we know that? Because when the building was complete, Shekinah glory came in there. and a place which filled with the presence of God. Except the Lord build a house, may labour in vain that build it. Your home. Is the Lord to be found in your home? If I was to visit your home, is there going to be hospitality there? Or is there going to be conflict? When I enter your home, will I find the peace of God which passeth all understanding? Will I find that shalom in your home? This is what he's saying. A Christian home is different to any other home. When friends come round, are they glad to be there? It's a challenge, isn't it? This word is a challenge to us. Except the Lord build a house, may labour in vain that build it. Then he speaks very quickly, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waiteth but in vain. City or country. We used to live in a great country. It's gone down a swan at the moment, hasn't it? Everything you look at is in decline. A health service, social services, bus services. You can't get a train because of so many disputes. You look at Europe, it's in disarray. Italy, strikes. All day long, strike. Everywhere we look, there's this confusion and unrest. There's an anger. It's dissatisfaction. Our politicians seem not interested in ourselves. Where's Starmer at the moment? We've been to India. We've got problems here. Where's Macron? He's been gadding around Europe. France is crumbling to pieces. They're all off. Why? Because God is not in it. We have rejected true wisdom and true understanding. And we can labour to build up our nation, but it's vain because God is not in it. We've rejected him. We will not have you to rule over us, we said. We raised our puny little fist in God's face and we said, no. And God says, okay then, I give you over, Romans 1. And that's where we are as a nation. Because the Lord is not in it. Look at the shambles of the Church of England. Sarah Maloney, the new Archbishop. Where in the scriptures do we read of priestesses? Where do we read of women instructing men in the church, teaching? Women can teach women, I have no problem. But the word of God is clear. And the Church of England has imbibed the spirit of the age, and she's in declension. Listen to some podcasts, and the Roman Catholics are very excited because they feel that many Christians from the Church of England will now come back home to Rome. One father even said at Walsingham, you can almost taste it, they're almost here. What is declension? See, God has given us over. We are in decline. We pray earnestly that God would come and revive his people. That God would be in it. And that all we do would be to his praise and to his glory. Then he speaks of the character of a pilgrim, of a believer. It's vain that you should rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It's good, Protestant ethic, isn't it? To work and to work hard. But he's saying here, it's vain to rise up early, to scatter your seed in the field, or whatever your business may be, and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, and to worry about, is the grain going to flourish? Am I going to get a crop? Is the rain going to come? Am I going to gather in a harvest? It's a vain thing. I want you to notice here that word vain three times. It's a vain thing to build a house. It's a vain thing to wash the city. And it's a vain thing to rise up early. That's why we read Ecclesiastes 1. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And Psalm 27 telling us, if God is not in it, it's empty, it's futile, it's useless. There'll be no fruit. It doesn't matter how you wring your hands. It doesn't matter how energetic you are in your business. If the Lord is not in it, it comes to nothing. It's empty. It's vanity. Then he moves on quickly to his children. I love children. I've got four lovely granddaughters, and they bring a lot of joy to us. But am I putting too much confidence in them? In my future? There's an old Baptist pastor, he had 12 children. And another Baptist pastor said to him, you're just like Jacob, you've got 12 children. He said, I'm just like Jacob, but I've got a God who provides for my 12 children. Thinking of that in the future, when he becomes old, they're going to care for him. They're going to nurture him and feed him and give him accommodation if he needs it. Yeah? Great expectations. But we've lost that, haven't we? Young boy you spoke to many years ago, my friend said to him, your parents have done a lot for you, haven't they? He said, yes, they have. They sent me to school, they give me what I need. He said, when they get old, what are you going to do for them? He said, oh, I'm going to put them in pilgrim homes. In a way, it's quite amusing, but in a way, it's very sad, isn't it? That's where we are as a society. Going to put them away in a pilgrim home and forget all about them. Go visit them maybe once or twice a week. I know people locally who find their elderly parents a burden. They find them difficult. They're stopping us going away on holiday, you know, having fun. Again, you see, it's the breakdown of society. This is what we're seeing, but this is the remedy to that breakdown. The Lord is in it. The Lord is in it. In our home, in our country, in our own personal character, and in our children. The devil is cunning, the father of lies, and he is determined to destroy the family tradition in our country. And as Christians, we need to stand against that, to pray that God raise up godly men and godly families in our day and generation. We need to pray for families that we know personally, that God will watch over them, preserve them, and to bless them, and that our children and great-grandchildren may become future men and women of the Church of Jesus Christ. Every aspect of our society is under attack because we've rejected these principles. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. It's a challenge for us this morning. A challenge for me, but a trust for you. I pray that God will help us to raise ourselves to that challenge. And that we may be those who speak peace in days of war and distress. Amen.